Well, hey friends, welcome to a new week's teaching. It is great to have you here with me. I'm about to jump into a brand new series where I teach. I'll be teaching all week long and doing a Q&A at the end of the week about the subject of how to get your prayers answered. Prayers that bring results. And I'm going to be tackling the concept of unanswered prayer, why sometimes prayer doesn't seem to receive answers, how do we deal with that biblically, and how can we come to a place, I want to say this carefully, possibly a place where we pray less, and yet a place where I believe it's possible to come to a place where all of our prayers get answered, where there are no unanswered prayers within the context of our life. Great. Well, it is good to have you here with me. If you are new to myself, my ministry, my name is Graham Jones. I'm a Brit. I lived in as a missionary in France for 20 years. I now live in New England in the USA. Lead a group of churches here, including where I am today in the state of Massachusetts. And love to connect with you. Real quick, a big thank you to all of the subscribers to our YouTube channel. We have over 1 million subscribers, which is so cool. Why not join that group by hitting the button down there? Probably the best way of keeping in touch with me is to subscribe to our email newsletter as well. There should be a link below. And lots of great things going on. Don't want to take all your time mentioning those, but sign up for our email newsletter, link below, and we will keep in touch with you. And lastly, let me say again a big thanks to all of the partners of my ministry, people who pray and sow financially into what we are called to do, which enables us to put these videos in front of people who've never heard the gospel or never heard the message of faith, which is the gospel as well. Selah. Boom. So let's talk about prayer. Let's talk about prayer, baby. And I want to begin by reading a verse that you might not necessarily connect with the subject of prayer, and yet I do, in the Epistle to the Galatians, in Galatians chapter 4, and verse 6, Paul writes, or more accurately, the Holy Spirit writes through Paul, and says, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying out, Abba, Father, Daddy God. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And a lot of what I'm going to be teaching on this week is the concept that what causes breakthrough in our prayers is less about what we're praying for. Now, I think if you went to the average Christian and said, what will cause God to answer your prayers? What will not cause God to answer your prayers? Why will God stamp some prayers approved? Why would He stamp some prayers rejected, figuratively speaking? And I would conjecture, I would suggest to you that for the vast majority of us, we think God looks at the request, that He looks at the demand, that He looks at what we are asking for. And of course, He does look at those things. But I think for most of us, that becomes the primary way, the primary lens through which we look at prayer. I'm here in my church building today. I have an office you can't see right behind the camera here. And people will often come and ask me, you know, Graham, can we buy this? Can we buy that? Can my department purchase this? Can we do that? And, you know, maybe like leave me a little request and I'll look through it and I'll approve this one. Or, oh no, that's too much money. Or we already have one of those. You know, I don't want to simply fill the church up with things we already have. And I think we have a tendency to look at prayer through that lens. And my suggestion to you is God's a lot less interested in what you ask for than who it is who is doing the asking. And I think when you pray as a slave, even for small, insignificant things, you won't often get them. But I think when you pray as a son, even for large things, you will get them. Do you remember when the prodigal son comes home and the father puts the ring and the coat and kills the fatted calf, whatever? And then the elder brother comes and he's like mad as a hatter because his brother's blessed. And what does the father say to the elder brother? He says, son, all I have is yours. Yeah, the sun is coming soon. Well, you never even gave me a little goat so I could make merry and have a small party with my friends. And the Father's saying, you're my son, and because you are my son, everything I have is yours. Notice, if you will, what the elder brother said, excuse me, the prodigal son, the younger brother. He came back and he said, make me as a servant. You know, the father rejected the sinner's request to be made a servant. But the thing I'd love you to catch and see and grasp here is the elder brother, although he hadn't sinned and wasted his inheritance and gone off with riotous living, he was thinking like a slave. He was living like a slave. In a way, he was making his request as a slave. And I want to just begin with this foundation today that, again, it's counterintuitive to many of us, but I think God is a lot less interested in what you ask for than where you ask from. I think there are things, if you know, somebody comes to my office, I'm recording this on a Saturday at the moment, but if somebody came to my office in church tomorrow and said, hey, Graham, would you do this? You know, if a stranger walks into the church and says, would you give me $200? I'm going to probably look at them and go like, I mean, maybe, but why? You know, what for? What are you going to do with it? Whatever. You know, ask a bunch of questions. If one of my children does, if my daughter came home, she's in Hawaii right now, but she came and like, Dad, I just need $200. We'll talk about the details later. I would be, great. Here's the money. Do you need any more? I mean, sure, we'll talk about the details later and whatever. I'm not an ATM machine, but the point being, relationship. I treat my child differently than I treat my staff. I treat my child differently than I treat a stranger. And I think at times what we've got to do is detach our relationship from our demand. Mm-hmm. Again, demands are important, and we're going to get to that in this series. But I think if you learn to divorce the two, one last thought on this as well. Where that becomes difficult is when we're in a place of need, when we're in a pressing place of need, when we are in a place where our needs are real, and maybe we're in pain, maybe somebody we love is in pain, maybe, you know, we need food on the table, you know, our bellies are empty, as it were. So often, the need will speak to us louder, longer, harder, and clearer than our relationship with God will speak to us. That's a little bit badly phrased here, but my point is, we're often in a place where we are, in a relationship with God. We're in sonship, if you will. And let's not go down the male and female thing right now. You are all sons. God has sons. There are sons who are male on the earth, there are sons who are female, but the in a sense, you don't even pray as a daughter, you pray as a firstborn, as an inheritor of the heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, both male and female. So let's leave aside that discussion for now. My point is, though, we're often in that situation where our needs are so real and so screaming, so relevant, so in our face, that it's hard to break through from those. Quick example, years ago, I burnt my hand, I think it was my right hand, really badly. Like, I literally scalded all the skin off my hand. Long story short, but I was cooking, I had a pan of soup on a stove, left the stove on, left the empty pan on the stove, didn't know it was on, went away, came back an hour later, and I grabbed hold of the inside of the pan. I mean, I grabbed hold of it and held it, and I heard my hand go tss, and I scalded, like, just the skin just melted off my hand, kind of thing. And here's the point I'm trying to get to. I remember walking around an apartment in Paris, France, in agony. It felt like my pain was like somebody going up the violin string and just increasing and increasing and increasing. Now, if somebody would have come to me and said, hey, Graham, here's a cassette tape, you know, you're a son of God, God loves you, God doesn't want you. It's like none of that was real to me. It was real, but it wasn't as real as the pain. The pain was speaking to me. It would have been like to me, the pain was 99% of what filled the bandwidth of my perspective, my viewpoint. And God, good theology, truth seemed very distant and very remote. Now, long story short, I had to come to the Lord. It's like I had to detach myself from the pain. Now, careful, somebody who's religious will hear me say, oh, Graham, you mean you denied the pain? No, I wasn't denying the pain. If you're burnt, you're burnt. Yeah, if you're in pain, you're in pain. If you've been diagnosed with cancer, you've been diagnosed with cancer. Faith doesn't deny things that we go through. Rather, faith denies its permanency. Faith denies its authority. Faith says, this is real, but this is, forgive my English, is realer. This is more true. This is stronger. This is more substantive. This is more real than what I feel here. Heaven and earth can pass away. My word will never pass away. And long story short, I began walking around my room about for 5 or 10 minutes praising God and literally shouting. I wasn't confessing, by His stripes I'm healed. I was shouting, Lord, I thank you. You are the Lord, my healer. The reason I was shouting is I wanted to shout louder than the pain, and the pain was shouting. Again, I wasn't trying to deny it. I was literally saying, I want to fill the bandwidth of my mind with the Word of God rather than the pain. Now, this is just my testimony, not yours, and I'm not saying this happens in every instance, but after about 5 minutes of just worship and shouting, I wasn't shouting at God, I was shouting to drown out the noise of something else, okay? The pain instantly disappeared, and over a period of a few minutes, I watched, and God put brand new skin on my hand. Hallelujah. Come on, we have a God who answers prayer. And again, I'll go into a little bit more of this concept tomorrow, but I really would love you to catch this. So often what's happened is we have based our beliefs on poor experiences we've gone through. We said again, we prayed, something didn't happen, it didn't come to pass, and we have developed theology out of poor experience. We've looked at our experience and said, well, I prayed and I wasn't healed, and then we've concluded, this must be true, this must not be true, this is how it works, this is how it worked. And don't base your theology on a bad experience. Don't base how to do marriage on looking at a whole bunch of people who got divorced. God bless him, I'm not mad at anybody. God will forgive, you know, failure in our life. That's my point I'm making, is don't base your theology on the Word of God. And it's a radical thought, and I'm going to come to that tomorrow, but I don't believe the Bible teaches unanswered prayer. Selah. Boom. We're going to jump into this more tomorrow. Thanks for watching this far, my friends. Again, hit the subscribe button on YouTube, sign up for our email newsletter, and why not consider becoming a partner of this ministry? Again, link below. We would love you to do that, and bless you wherever you're at. Check out my YouTube channel. I have nearly 2,000 videos, I think, right now. So lots of great material there that will help you build your faith. Selah.